Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
A lot about displacement. So to hear the story of this highway to nowhere, it's something very deep and touches a certain part. When it was told to me, was it over 4,000? Is it over 4,000 homes or something like this? Y'all know the story, yes? Y'all, we the Baltimore. Okay, you have to enlighten me on it, because to hear something like this. And only a destructive mind can do something for a bridge. They tell me that it's only, I don't know how many miles, but it's nothing like 4,000 people being submerged and plucked and thrown away, to wherever, whatever wolf, whatever entity that eats it up. So I guess how many more examples of destruction? How many more examples of destruction will it take for us to lift the veil of ignorance that drapes our faces? We place hands over ears, eyes closed, mark mute, walk dead, have to, because they shoot before we speak. And when you know the truth of what they do to those who refuse to believe in the lies they feed, it's either we could crawl and give in, feeling helpless under the pressure, or we'd remember. We remember how to walk like warriors, how our feet are on the shoulders of giants, how we've conquered chaos before. We have compromised our divinity far too long, and all at the hands of an oppressive entity that deliberately aims to kill and steal. They will use poison and steel, or cotton and fields, take trillions of dollars, pollute all the water, destroy everything from Phoenix to Florida, then still find time to pimp your daughter or feminize your son, turn two parents into one. And one is never enough in the world of too much. Here is the classic equation. You divide up a family, multiply mommy's movements, cause daddy done moved where no responsibility can ever find him. Add in depression and bitterness, subtract the encouragement, then watch the percentages fill up the prison. See, we master mathematicians, exponents of confusion. We be choosing death as if there are no other options left or right, up or down. Shiftless vagabonds roaming around, searching for something, safe seeking, never finding or recognizing the space inside, the soft, quiet sound that doesn't compete with the crowd of voices or the violent volume. Here and here is the value of you, so it's like a vowel, standing in the midst of clanging consonants. It's constant, it's a kind reminder of the connection of us, when so often we have been picked apart, separated and sorted as casual as laundry. After all, they say we can never mix the colors and the whites, right? Okay, now meanwhile, on the other hand, now Mr. always preferred Mammy over the Misses, forced crinkled fingers in crevices too sacred to mention, and though this has happened time and time again, she still flinches at the scent and sight, but this time, she placed something inside, whereby twilight on the third night of the fourth week, he will be gone, and no one will miss him, not even his children. See, herein is the power of the medicine men. This is the gree-gree of the conjure women, them who make charms that ward off harm, them fearless fighters forming freedom around their feet, so that wherever they walk, their souls will know that liberation lives wherever they go, and wherever they go, the spirit of God is them who see the pattern of God in the stars, whether that be in the sky or in your eyes. Okay, this is for Tevin, right? Tevin Flowers is a little boy who was 7 years old, and his body was found dangling from a coat hook in his school's bathroom, right? Or this is for Juan, who was 8 years old. Juan was forced to eat his own vomit inside a Mississippi penitentiary for juveniles. Or this is for 17-year-old youth, because 17-year-old youth live in such a state of lack and limit that they give up before they even start. But you know, adult children only do what children are taught. It's like it's three strikes against them before their feet touch the land, and they move through this life without a choice or a chance. But I ask sincerely, who's standing here will be a voice when the sticky fingers of fear have gripped the throats of the people, and words as beautiful as freedom or justice or love never quite make it to their tongues? up, choking and gasping for breath on a coulda or a shoulda till there's nothing more left. But I am here like thousands of miles way up in the air, turning clouds into flowers since the ones down bottom. Life lived in unwatered and unsafe schoolhouses where cowards become heroes and the heartless are given power. And the only thing that matters is the making of a dollar. Really, who's standing out here is gonna speak, huh? Who will stand in this hour? Who will protect our babies against the system that devours? Can you imagine? Picture the nastiest animal mixing poison in a cauldron. Then we let them feed our youth. And before you know it, they in a coffin or a jail. Or their cells become altered in their eyes. It's like their eyes only begin to see destruction. Heaven help us. Please show us. May we learn how to repent for the hypocrisy and negligence we've shown to our children. Really, who's standing out here is going to serve, huh? Who can show that there is light? Who can tell of the precious God that follows the onyx lightning when you say it? Will you feel it? Will you really believe with all your might that every flower is sacred, that every future is bright? I'm asking who? Who out here will help? Who will prune and water the garden? Because if you're not a part of the solution, then you must be. All right. Praise God. I'm glad we got solutionaries out here. You know we have the then waters crowd. Like after everything happens, it's like, okay, then what? So I'm glad we have people that's a part of the then waters group.
Shalom. This has come out of her, my people.
Well, this is Mr. Vegas alongside Jovi Rockwell.
Yeah. Yes, I may have an ex girl, so she's not doing too well. Hey.
Old town talking about you and your new girl. You'll start.
Salam. This is Come Out After My People, Tribes of Aboriginal Nations Outreach Program. Today is May 2nd, 2014. I'm Brother Lynn Ben Israel, Israelite Tribe of Judah. And with me, I have Officer Bartholomew. Are you there, brother? Officer Bartholomew, are you there, brother?
Shalom, I'm here. Shalom, nation. Shalom, listeners. How are we all doing today?
Doing pretty good, brother. How are you?
I'm fabulous.
And also, we have another officer in the nation, our dear officer, brother Nathaniel. Are you there, Ox?
I am, Ox. Shalom. Shalom, Ox. How are y'all?
Pretty good.
Doing pretty good, brother.
Shalom, pretty nation. Good. Shalom.
So we just opened with A Highway to Nowhere by a one sister, Sunny Patterson. And that clip was offered by our officer Nathaniel. I'll pass it to him if he has any comments on it.
Well, yeah, brother, definitely. The sister is a talent, to say the least. An extreme orator, you know. Sister's blessed with the gift and, you know, a very good example of what reality actually is and what our people as a people are going through. And for me, brother, it brings out the fire. It got me, you know, it got me burning up on the inside because, you know, this is a fight that won't stop. And us in this nation, we won't stop. We can't stop, you know. It's just we were born for this, so. That's what I have on the sister. I want to give praises and a shout-out to her and the work that she's doing on behalf of our people in the community.
Well, I got to say, listening to that, you know, she actually hit on a couple points that, you know, we try to bring to light in the nation, you know, particularly, you know, with the men and the women, you know, operating in the capacity that they should from a standpoint of natural law. You know, we talk about, you know, what we're going to do, you know, to come together and unite as a people. You know, how we're going to continue to feed these babies, you know, and how we're going to, you know, come out of, you know, this situation dealing with this oppressor. And it's beautiful when you have a sister that can express it, you know, so eloquently and articulately. She's a great talent, and we definitely look forward to, you know, maybe showcasing more of her her talent on the show. So at this time, let's go into our current event. I'll pass it to our dear officer Bartholomew if he has anything to offer in the way of current events.
Thank you for that, Ock. So I guess the biggest topic in the news right now is the situation with the Clippers and the owner. Well, we all had the opportunity to see the outcome of that. And it is my hopes that those individuals that are in the NBA that run up and down those courts and things of that nature will soon come to a conclusion of their true value as this continues to unfold. So what I wanted to pull from that whole situation is just a couple comments that the owner said pertaining to, you know, what has a lot of people worked up pertaining to racism and black people and things of that nature. So the owner of the Clippers said, it's the world. You go to Israel, the blacks are just treated like dogs, the man says. He said white Jews and black Jews, and they are treated 100% differently. And that is right. Well, I guess the woman asked, is that right? But I'm going to stop right there with that and just wanted to kind of expound on, you know, where my thoughts go when I hear that statement. Now, of course, he's talking about those in Israel and there being white Jews in Israel and black Jews. So the question that rose in my mind was, what does the black Jews in Israel have to do with the said Negro or black man in America? Well, as we all know, in according to scriptures, that the word Jews come or Jew comes from the word Judah, which was the fourth son of Jacob, and the said black man on this said continent is of the tribe of Judah. So when I'm hearing that, you know, the fact that I am more attuned to what's going on this planet when it comes to our people, you have to ask yourself, what did he know about this? Because if he can, I'll say, silently connect or if he would bring up the Jews in Israel when we're talking about the black people in America and his so-called girlfriend hanging out with those said black people, does he know that those are the same people or the fact that the said Negro in America is what we would consider Jews? And that's why he makes that correlation between the two different entities or persons, without saying that black people are the Jews and so forth. So, you know, that rose a question in my state of mind, because I think he definitely understands. First, he's Jewish. He's from the Jewish community. We, hopefully everyone here understands the difference between a Jew and a Jewish people and the fact that they are actually using our history and our holy days, and of course they have added to some things, but they derive that understanding
and those practices from the said Jews in the scriptures. And I just wanted to also bring up the 1724 Christian codes, because a lot of people go back and forth of who we are. But if you're not aware of the 1724 Christian codes, the Christian Black codes of 1724 were initiated during the Reconstruction of the Civil War to control blacks after they were emancipated. Now, these codes were passed by the Southern states, intended to give blacks the same rights as whites. The codes limit the blacks' freedom severely, though. They included the blacks had to be in service of white persons. They could not have congregations together. They could not speak out and so forth. They could not have weapons and things of that nature. Well, the first article of this code decreed the expulsion of the Jews from the colony. Well, if you know what a decree is, it's an order. And these same decrees they did to the Jews throughout history. And if you go more into this article, then they go from the order of the expulsion of the Jews, and then they go into using the language of blacks and Negro and things of that nature. So they know that we are the said, we are Jews. They obviously, this a decree is no different than a court order, which they were ordering the Jews, which were the said blacks or Negroes. Well, now we go to this owner, and he compares blacks and Jews, and we, like I said, we understand that the blacks are the true Jews. And then if you go into scriptures, that will also tell you who the true Jews are through prophecies and things that have happened to us and through direct bloodline to the said Christ. So I just found that pretty interesting. You know, as we all wake up more and more, we're waking up to realize who we truly are. Now, there have been a lot of signs, no different than the 1724 Black Christian codes, that indicate and tell the truth of who these people are that came on those slave ships, and indeed they are Jews. And as we wake up, we can go through history and find a lot of signs and a lot of, I would say, like, messages and stones and concrete that will give us the proper understanding to know who we are as a body of people. So I just thought that was ironic, and I'll let you brothers expound on what you think about that.
Shalom, Aki. Thank you for offering that. At this time, I want to give a notice to the listeners out there. Due to some technical difficulties that we have with the recording, we probably are going to be limited in broadcasting the remainder of the show. We'll go as far as we can. I'm not sure how much longer we'll be able to do it, but you know, we'll keep going until we get cut off. So, again, thank you, Aki, for that. That was a great segue into tonight's topic, which is really a continuation of last week when we began the discussion regarding Hebrew identity. One of the reasons why we're doing, you know, devoting as much energy and detail to addressing this question about identity is because we understand that for many out there, you know, this may be information that's new, it may be unfamiliar, and so the thing that we want to impress upon the listeners, those that have ears to see and eyes to hear, is that we are, meaning the North American Negroes, the said Latinos, Puerto Ricans, particularly Western Spanish speaking people, we are the, and others, we are the children of the book. We're the children of Israel. And we use the characteristics that, you know, our people experience collectively to identify ourselves. We do it through anthropological means, and we also do it through characteristics and behaviors of the people. Once we have that, and there's a very, very methodic approach to this, because just think about this for an example. You know, if you're in a situation where you wrong your brother, and for whatever reason the memory of that wrong is taken away from you, and then your brother treats you in a way that's unloving or dishonorable, and you have no idea what you may have done to deserve that treatment, there's no way that you can atone for it. There's no way that you can answer for it. And what we preach is that, or what we teach is that, you know, we have to come out of the status and jurisdiction, and we have to go back into our own status so that we can operate under self-government and basically perform according to the contract which our forefathers executed with the Most High. The major block, the major stumbling block to that, you know, the first thing someone, you know, will say when you try to communicate that is that, you know, I don't believe that, you know, I don't believe that, and, you know, I can't. A major problem with the comprehension is that, you know, they can't see themselves in the scriptures. And a lot of times that is because the way in which they've been taught the scriptures is not from the correct point of view. And it doesn't really speak to a lot of the indicators that are in the scriptures with respect to, you know, what our people looked like, you know, what their behaviors were, what their ancestral lands were. And so for this to be able to make sense, you know, first we have to identify who the people are. Once we identify who the people are, then we trace the migration patterns of the people, which the Bible is really the primary source for that. And everything that we use outside of the Bible is something that will validate what's in it. It's always going to be the groundwork. It's always going to be foundational. And so once we can see ourselves in the scriptures, we can be able to make the relationship between, you know, who we are now and who we have been historically. Then we can take the next step, which is understanding, you know, what type of behaviors and transgressions have actually gotten us into this situation and what we need to do to get out of that situation. And so that's why we spend a lot of time on, you know, trying to, you know, break down these barriers to the comprehension. Because once you're plugged back into your history, well, we call it your chip, which is your culture, your history, your identity, and your pedigree. Once you can see yourself in those scriptures, and once you're plugged back into that, then now we can take up the task of trying to reconcile ourselves back to our Creator by coming back to the law, statutes, and commandments, the 613 law, statutes, and commandments that we were bound to actually honor. And once we do that, you know, we're able to pull ourselves up out of this situation collectively and as a nation. And that's the key thing. That's the key reason for this outreach, is because we recognize that we have to do this as a nation. We were judged as a nation, and we're going to be reconciled back to the Most High as a nation. And I would like to offer a scripture. This is Amos, third chapter, first verse. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, and I just want to add something. I read this scripture And, you know, it really speaks perfectly to the fact that, you know, we're doing this outreach because to overcome this and force the change, you know, the situation that we're dealing with in this land of our enemies, we're going to have to do it as a unit. We're going to have to do it as a family. We're going to have to do it as brothers and sisters and turn back to loving one another instead of, you know, backbiting and, you know, hating on one another. And I remember, you know, growing up, my mother, you know, I have a younger sister that lived with me. And sometimes, you know, when you get out of line, you know, and you're getting ready to get, you know, disciplined, you know, with my mom always said, you know, if you have one child, then you're not really a parent. You don't really become a parent until you have two kids, because if something happens, something gets broken, you know, something turns up missing, you know who did it if you got one kid. But if you have two children, you know, now there's some deliberation that has to go on, you know, for you to figure out, you know, who actually did it. And, you know, growing up, you know, there might have been some situations where, you know, instead of, you know, being completely honorable and truthful, you know, you might not be completely honest with your parent, knowing that, hey, you may have done something, or your sister may have done something, or you might have done it in concert. You might have been, you know, confederate against your parent. And so, you know, you're operating there in the solidarity with your sibling. And then, you know, in my case, I remember a situation like that happening, and my mother ended up saying, you know, well, I'm getting ready to get on both of y'all. And I'm like, well, Mama, what, you know, why would you do that? I didn't do this. And my sister, you know, she just wouldn't give up the good. But my mom was like, you know, it's unfortunate. The good has to suffer with the bad. And that's the, you know, that's the same thing that, you know, the scripture is speaking to. It's speaking to the fact that, you know, we are going to be judged as a nation. You know, we got into this collectively, and we're going to get out of it collectively. And with that, I'll pass it to Officer Nathaniel if he has any comments.
Yeah, brother, you know, right on point. You know, we are being judged as a family. We're going through this hell on earth as a family, regardless of our individual situations, our individual finances, our individual successes or failures. The reality of the matter is, when you leave up out of your house, your home, your dwelling, you see your brother and your sister, and you know that they're your brother and your sister, but there's nothing that you can do because there's no power in your hand. There's no power in your hand because you refuse to come back to the Holy One of Israel, to the law, statutes, and commandments that were given to us as a people, you know. And just to speak on what the officer Bartholomew spoke on, you know, this sterling character, you know, caused quite an uproar in his comments, you know. But I think it's key in knowing who we are is to know who we are not. And I just want to read Isaiah 29, chapter 22-23. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he sentenceth his children, the work of my hand, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. Okay? Key phrase in this scripture is, Israel shall never wax pale. Okay? Now, we know historically that the Khazars converted to Judaism under King Balut in 740 A.D. Before that, the people that now call themselves Jewish did not exist. This has nothing to do with a racial perspective. This is simply identifying those according to who their fathers are. Now, what we must understand is that that statement was, although we come to find out that there were background dealings going on, there was a situation of a lawsuit that led to this tape being released, all things come through the Spirit of the Most High. There is nothing outside of the realm of the existence of the Holy One of Israel. So for that statement to come out, you know, if you are a brother or sister that has true perspective or understanding, it's clear as day, you know. And I just think we need to take everything with a grain of salt as a people, but we also need to be very appreciative. We just heard the brother say that the 1724 Christian Black Code, specifically Article 1, states that the Jews, this decrees the Jews being expelled from the colony. Then in subsequent articles, it moves on to say that these Jews will now be called Negroes, Blacks, and Coloreds. I want to read the word decree. Black Law Dictionary 7th edition, a noun. Traditionally, a judicial decision in a court of equity, divorce, or probate, similar to a judgment of a court of law. 2, any court order, but especially one in matrimonial cases. So, once again, if we have brothers that are listening, we want you to understand that your captivity was done through law. Excuse my background, my daughter's having a good time. Your captivity was accomplished through law. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 1 tells us that all things are ordained by the Most High. All men in power are ordained by the Most High. So I just wanted to add that, brothers, and, you know, I'll deal with that.
Shalom. Thank you for that. Brother Bartholomew, would you like to add anything?
Yes. Just to give you some support when you're speaking of, you know, us being judged as a nation, as a family, just wanted to pull it up, Isaiah 60:12, for the nation and kingdom that would not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. When I just think about us, we have been utterly wasted. We have perished as a nation of people. In the eyes of the law, we, again, are nationless. We are savage in our mental capacity. We are human beings, which are monsters. We have no respect for the law. We have no will, no desire to be a part of the law. And again, I'm not speaking for every single said black man, because, you know, not every single black man is just wicked. But that's where you have to understand, again, when you see statistics and things of that nature, and they talk about the said black people, they don't talk about you as an individual. They don't care about you. You're a judge as a nation and as a whole. And you fall into the same category as your people. And that's why uplifting our people as a whole is critical. And that's why we bring this message in hopes that if you can understand who you are, if you can understand where we went wrong, no different than a math equation or a math problem, if you do it wrong, then you figure out where you went wrong in that math equation, and then you get the answer right. Well, in order for us to go to gather the masses and to assist each other in moving in the right direction, we first have to see where we went wrong at. And it just,
I wanted to point out an article just by Larry Johnson. And Larry Johnson is a Knicks executive and former NBA player. And one of the comments he made, he said, "Black people, you're focusing on the wrong thing. We should be focusing on having our own teams, own league, to be for self." And when you understand what he's saying, like, literally, if we were in our right state of mind, we could have bankrupted the NBA. But we're so content with getting a couple rights, being able to piss in the same toilet as Mikey, and to be able to eat with Sarah. You know, we are so content what the basics, when our remedy is to go for self, like Larry Johnson is saying. And as I say, we are waking up, and that's beautiful. And hopefully we can realize that there's more value in going for self than there is to see this Clippers head coach forced to sell his team and pay $2.5 million in fine. That's nothing compared to us starting our own league, going for self, contracting independently with the league. So basketball still gets paid, but we operated under our own entity for ourselves. We're not subjected to none of your rules, none of your constitution, because they have an NBA constitution. It's crazy to sound they do. And not being subjected to any of that bias. Because as we know, he voices opinion, but do you not think that the rest of the NBA coaches do not feel the same way? Hey, you got to look at before we were allowed into those leagues, yes, allowed, they never wanted us there. They only wanted us there for the commercial purpose of being able to be what the NBA is right now. So we're all a bunch of niggas and niggers that can jump real high and got some nice muscles and can run pretty fast, and that's how they view us. So, you know, again, it's time for self, and I'll yield.
Brother Lynn.
Yes, sir.
If I may, brother, I mean not to be disrespectful or improper. If I may, I want to pose a question to you, brother, via scripture, if I may. This is Jeremiah, the second chapter, and we'll start at 12 and read down through 14. And if you brothers can, answer the 14th verse. It says, let's start at 11. "Have they charged their gods, which are ye no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doeth not profit? Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, comma, the fountain of living waters, comma, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." 14, and this is the question, brothers. "Is Israel a servant? Is he a home-born slave? Why is he spoiled?" And I yield.
Shalom, brother. This is Brother Lynn again. So, the answer to that question is yes. We are a servant. We are the bond servants of the Most High. The reason why, you know, we were expressly brought out of Egypt was to be the bond servants of the Most High. You know, it was so that the Most High could be our God and we could be his people. That's the only reason why we were brought out.
Brother Lynn, are you saying that we weren't brought out to go to the club every weekend, or we weren't brought out to envy our oppressors?
No, I'm absolutely saying we were brought out to be a holy nation, a nation of priests, prophets, and kings, not to follow after the way of the Gentiles, but to follow after the way of our forefathers and to honor that covenant with the Most High.
Amen. Brother Officer Bartholomew?
Yes. Well, quickly, my first thought, I would love to dwell more into the passage, but is Israel a servant? Yes, indeed. Is he a homeborn slave? Yes. And why is he spoiled to continue to be a great slave? And I will leave it at that.
You saying he's spoiled to continue to be a great slave, brother?
Yes.
So all of these distractions, all of this entertainment out here, is for the purpose of keeping Israel a slave?
And they're doing a good job. They're doing such a good job. Like I just spoke about this NBA situation. Indeed, this is enough energy to change the financial situation of all those NBA players. They can do so much with a black league that alone will cause a ripple effect for the people to start to do for self when they see the outcome of that. That can also open up the door for our people to actually buy into shares into these black leagues and these black companies, or however you want to call it. You know, it could have been phenomenal, but because they are slaves and slave-minded, they are content, again, to see the Clippers owner forced to trade and to go directly back into slavery. And that's just, you know, to me, that was a type of entertainment. They knew they had to make a move. I just could only imagine, like, the mob talking to him. Like, like, man, you messed up. Why did you have to talk? Why did you have to run your mouth? We had to do it to you. Like, you know, like, they had to make an example to him. Why? Because if they didn't make an example of that coach, their slaves may have woken up. So for proper entertainment to keep them enslaved in this NBA, a lot of people are like, slave, these guys are making millions. Ain't enough money in the world, especially with a dollar that's going to collapse on, that is more important than your freedom and being a nation of people, a strong nation of people. But at the same time, that was enough entertainment to keep everybody playing in this playoffs and keep them off the topics of what individuals like Larry Johnson was saying, go for self. And to me, that's just a major way of entertaining their slaves. They entertain them by getting rid of one guy. And now you, brother.
One more question, Brother Lynn. Do you think it could have been possibly a competency exam? Because the only
failed.
Reason I say that, brothers, is because I don't know if you've all had a chance to check out this on his resume, he started as a litigator. He's actually an attorney, one who understands law.
Are we speaking of Larry Johnson?
No, this Sterling character, the owner.
The commissioner. Donald Sterling, gotcha. Yeah, the owner.
Yeah, he started off as a lawyer. He's a lawyer. So he understands civil little more too. He understands bond servitude, taxpayer status, all of these things we speak about. Do you could think possibly this was a competency exam that was put towards these actual these actual slave-minded athletes to see if they were ready to wake up? I'm just asking. Because as we go deeper into this, these are things that, you know, come to my mind. I apologize. Excuse me, forgive me.
That's fabulous, brother, and we should all be dwelling to these type of thoughts because that just displays the mind consciously waking up and seeing these things. Like I explained to as I explained to Brother Lynn, you know, if these brothers were in their proper state of mind, they will see this no different than we'll see this. And, you know, for some, this, to see this the way we're seeing it, it's almost like a high science to a lot of these people that are not conscious enough to see it. Because when situations like this arise, I just wish I knew all these NBA players. I would have had them in a room that day like it's over. We are starting our own team. I would have had attorneys. I mean, we're starting our own league. I would have had attorneys. I would have had all the right people there. We would have talked to them. We would have came up with a game plan and so forth. And we would have not went back to that league. Yes, we would have all took a little losses due for contract breach and things of that nature. Or we would have reviewed those contracts that would have put a detriment, a real dent in one's living and financial situation. We would have addressed the situation accordingly. But at the same time, when you're in your proper state of mind, you're able to see these things. And obviously they can't see it at all. They are just lost in the sauce. Like those who are willing to pay $250 for some True Religion jeans, get a $25,000 lawsuit, and the first thing they do is buy a damn car. Like, are you serious? And if you did it, I'm sorry, but we need to highlight it because these are opportunities that we can change our lives forever. And instead, we go buy a car. And it's unbelievable. And I don't even think it was a competency exam because them boys are running too hard to even take the time out. They probably got ADD. They're, like, abnormal. Like, they jumping and running. They the size of giants. They can't even, most of them can't even comprehend to sit down and dwell on these type of things. So all they can do is take their jersey off and flip it inside out and then go back to playing. How are you, brother?
Shalom, brother. Officer Nathaniel, I would have to agree with you. I think that, you know, that probably is what it is. I can definitely see that being a competency exam. It's like you got this kid that's clinging to you, you know, because they're too, you know, scared to go out here in the deep end of the pool, so we'll just stand 3 feet, you know. And I look at that, you know, really I look at that the same way that I look at, you know, the civil rights struggle, you know, not trying to marginalize or diminish, you know, anything that, you know, our relatives, you know, did in the fight for civil rights. But, you know, you got to take a step back and ask the question, you know, if they had full disclosure and if they had the necessary body of information to be able to understand, you know, what they were fighting for, would they have still done it? Meaning that, you know, you're sitting there and you're basically trying to enforce the right of suffrage and equal opportunity and equal access in a foreign nation, you know, in a nation that was actually set up to be your prison, you know, while you served out your sentence for violating natural law and violating the laws of your creator. And so you move to a point to where, you know, that situation is almost over and they're giving you the opportunity. I think I forget the exact year in which that happened, but around that period of time, there was actually a jubilee and the Queen of England was essentially abiding by the scriptures and allowing the slaves of a foreign nation to go free. And so a lot of what the civil rights struggle was our inability to, you know, have a desire or actually have the will to want to go and do for ourselves. And so you compare that against what happened in this current scenario. Okay, well, you know, we're still not going to go do it. You know, mind you, you know, we have all the talent. We're the ones signing our name on the dotted line to perform. We have all the performance. We're doing that, but we just don't have the will, you know, to get out there and go for ourselves. We don't have the will to operate for ourselves commercially. You know, we don't have the desire to do it, and a lot of that is just driven by the fact that, you know, unfortunately, this experience has scarred our people to the point to where, you know, we really do follow after, you know, these heathens. We really do follow after these Gentiles, even to the point to where, you know, we act on the training that our egos receive to want to maximize our situation. And we'll do that, you know, because it's all, you know, to Officer Bartholomew's point, you know, we'll go out here and go in and spend $1 million on a car versus trying to invest that money in something that our brothers and sisters can actually benefit from to further pull ourselves, you know, out of this employer-employee relationship or this slavery relationship. And in our current situation, you know, the ego, you know, is just allowed to, you know, go for self and just be so, you know, rampant and inconsiderate until you can actually be in a situation where you're deriving some sort of revenue, some sort of benefit from something that hurts your brother and your sister. It disadvantages or disenfranchises your brother and sister, and it could actually be something that goes against nature. And none of that, you know, becomes a issue, you know, as long as, you know, the ego, you know, is satisfied, as long as you're able to, you know, satiate the selfishness and the whims of your ego. I want to, you know, take a segue to get back to the main idea of this episode. We're speaking on amnesia of selective memory, and from Wikipedia, I want to read this definition of amnesia. Amnesia is a deficit in memory caused by brain damage, disease, or psychological trauma. And further, retrograde amnesia is the inability to retrieve information that was acquired before a particular date, usually the date of an accident or an operation. So, you know, when I think about Right.
That is deep, brother. Can you read that one more time for the recording, please?
That's serious.
From Wikipedia, amnesia, from the Greek, it basically means without memory. But the definition is a deficit in which memory caused by brain damage, disease, or psychological trauma. And then further, retrograde amnesia is the inability to retrieve information that was acquired before a particular date, usually the date of an accident or an operation. So, you know, in saying that, you know, the thing that really comes to my mind, you know, as being, you know, paramount in what we're doing as far as, you know, continuing to come on the radio as often as possible to reach out to our people. You know, we're doing this because we understand that you know, this nation, this body of people has a charge, and our charge is to get out here, go get our people. You know, we're not dealing, you know, necessarily you know, with belief systems. You know, we're not trying to you know, forcibly, you know, remove people from, you know, their you know, particular beliefs at this point. Our charge is to get out here and put the facts in front of our people and we understand that, you know, everybody's not going to hear this message. You know, everybody's not going to be able to act on it, not because they can't, but in a lot of cases, you know, people grow, you know, in their own time, and they grow up their own speed. But the reason why, you know, we're out here, you know, trying to do as much as we can is because, you know, we recognize that, you know, our people are smitten, you know, with madness. We actually have a sickness that has been brought on by the psychological trauma of ultimately of idolatry. And when we look at, you know, what's going on, particularly with this situation, you know, with Donald Sterling, you know, we still have not come out of it. You know, because the thing is that, you know, when you're constantly, you know, engaging in idolatry, the one thing you're not doing is using logic and reason, and you're definitely, you know, not governing your daily affairs from a lawful standpoint. You can't handle it. That's the reason, the primary reason, you know, why we fell out of favor with the Most High, because we would not honor those laws, statutes, and commandments to the point to where the Most High had to actually raise up another people to set us down and check us and ultimately rehabilitate us, because we really lost the means, you know, and the will to govern ourselves. And that's why right now, you know, when we're looking at, you know, the amnesia that our people suffer, you know, everybody wants to have a different opinion, and none of us, as said, black people, can agree to what we were prior to the transatlantic slave trade. And when I look at, you know, these definitions, I definitely think that, you know, that experience, yes, it denotes psychological trauma. And that's a really good date in history that, you know, we can pinpoint, you know, as a, you know, as a beginning to denote that that trauma. But what we want to do is we want to try to make a bridge or draw a correlation between that period in time and what we were before that time, because ultimately that knowledge, that is where our remedy is. That's where our remedy lies. And with that, you know, I'll pass it to Brother Nathaniel if you have any comments.
Yes, brother. That date that you gave, excuse me, now, you said, is that 1492, brother?
Yes, sir.
Okay, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, and when he landed, he hit you in the head with a stick, and all of y'all got amnesia. I don't mean to be funny. Listen, brothers and sisters, Officer Bartholomew said something. He said he would immediately, if he knew these brothers in the NBA, he would have got together with them, formulated a plan, called in counsel to lead him so that he would not err. What happened in 1492 to cause that in Asia? Okay? I'm going to read out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 3, and I'm going to read 1 through 3, excuse me. For behold, the Lord of hosts, do take away from Jerusalem, which is Israel, and from Judah, which is the southern kingdom, the stay and the staff. If you don't know what staff is, look it up, family. The whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. 2, the mighty men, our brothers, have went from killing their enemy to killing their brother. And the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. You started off the show by showing you a sister that's an eloquent orator. You listen to the brothers on this line Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're going to hear the voice of the counselors, of the judges, of the prophets. In 1492, this is what we lost, family. This is what creates your amnesia. See, you can't box with God. And I'm saying God, fully understanding what the word means. You cannot box with the Most High. You're going to lose 10 out of 10 rounds. Matter of fact, the first round will be your last. We are living in a society that knows that we step in the ring with the Most High.
And we lost.
And we lost. A stunning, utter, gruesome defeat. It is time for us to return. Very simple. You know, we say this all the time. You're either going to serve the Most High or you're going to serve your enemy. And there is no in-between. There is no lukewarm. Oh, you're not just a rich brother or a brother who's extremely fortunate that, hey, listen, man, I just deal with them when I have to. But I'm saved. I'm with the Most High. See, these are our problems. These are our issues. This is what lets the other nations know that we don't know what in the hell is going on. We are definitely suffering from amnesia. And, you know, I want to stop before I get started, brother. I'm going to give the passage right to you, Brother Lynn. Wow.
Shalom, Officer Nathaniel. Thank you for that. I'll go ahead and yield to Officer Bartholomew if you want to add any comments.
Actually, brother, I yield. I'm enjoying hearing my brother speak. So I'll just yield at this moment. But, yeah, I'll yield at this moment. Thank you.
Come on, brother.
Brother Lynn, you want to go to the callers? Or maybe we can play some of that music? Or you want to go to the callers, see if we got anybody who has a comment or a word for the people?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a brief intermission. We'll play the music, and we got about 30 minutes left of broadcast, maybe about 28 minutes. We'll play the music, and when we come back, we'll go to the phones to see if the listening public has anything they wanna share. So we'll be back in a moment.
Black man, King Moses, he was a black man from Africa. Yeah, he fought for equality.
family. We're back. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and go to the phone, see if anybody has anything they want to share. Caller from 347-498, you're on live.
Hello, people. How are we doing? Good afternoon. Shalom to the nation. My name is Gavin. I've been listening to you guys for a year and a half, and I like listening to myself, you know, talk to people. And I formerly used to go to church growing up at a Seventh-day Adventist you know, organization. I've been trying to tell most of my brothers and sisters in the church the same thing, but I mean, even my brothers before me, you know, my older brothers, and I feel the spirit every day when I listen to you guys, and I just want to say, you know, you guys are doing great with driving the knowledge, and, you know, as I listen, I learn myself, and, you know, the bottom line to it is really learning scriptures through those three points that you guys always stress, which is, you know, government, knowing self-governing, you know, knowing your history, and knowing how to deal with commerce. And I think that's the biggest problem when it comes to organized religion. I mean, they spearhead the total opposite of what you guys are trying to, you know, have as an outlet and outreach for people to grow and understand. And, you know, I've heard you many times tonight, you know, how we're lost and we're just, you know, like you would want to organize the whole African, so-called African Americans in the league to regroup and to organize ourselves as our own, in our own business, in our own, you know, industry. It's like we're blind. I don't get it. I feel the energy exactly what you're saying as a people. So, but you guys are doing a great job. Keep doing it. And I'll just yield at this moment. I have a lot more to say, but I'll just let you guys do what you do best. All praise to the Most High.
Thank you, brother.
Say that again, sir.
I said, where you calling from, brother?
I'm actually from New York, but I just recently moved to, I used to live in Florida for 2 years, and I moved back just for a lot of purposes of business-wise. So I love to talk to you guys, you know, one-on-one on some things that I see that could definitely happen with growing the family in this region and even back in New York. So,
thank you. Thank you for that, brother. If I can address the brother, first of all, I just want to say thank you very much for speaking. And, you know, I heard you say that you just don't get it, you know, why it's so difficult. It seems as if you're saying why it's so difficult for others to hear it as you speak to them, and similar to us as we speak to them. Well, you know, when you look at the amnesia that our people have and what we've been through psychologically, this is now, has become now a high science to our people. Something that was 1 + 1 = 2 has now become calculus to our people, and they just don't get it. And what I can urge you and what I say to anybody that understands it is that it takes each and every one of us. It may just be you out of 100 that hear this message and can understand what we're speaking of, and that can agree that government law and commerce is the way, and that could join or build a body of people that can reach the masses. Because, well, we have to all realize that everyone's not going to get this.
it's not for everyone to lead this charge because everyone doesn't get it. So all around this world, there's selective people that are going to get it and that are going to understand it. Those are your leaders. Those are the individuals that are going to take on this charge and lead the way for those who cannot understand and that cannot grasp government law and commerce. So hearing you speak, brother, you obviously understand it, and I believe you're charged to lead. I believe you hear it because you wouldn't be calling in if you didn't hear it, and it takes numbers to reach certain goals, certain body of people, and you have brothers here that support your way of thinking and that think the same way that you think. And I just tell you to, you know, check us out, continue to call in, you know, give us some feedback, give us your energy. We love it, and thank you very much, and I'll yield to the rest of the brothers.
Before the brothers speak, can I just make one more statement?
Go ahead, brother.
I like to add to what you just said is I really don't think people are in an amnesia state of mind due to circumstance. I really think a lot of people are trying to ignore the truth, and you know, in order to just get along. You know, like we shall overcome, kumbaya. They just want to do, like my mother used to say a lot. Oh, do what the Romans do. You know, and I scratch my head when she says that. I'm like, wow.
I agree, brother. We could throw that into the reason and probably maybe 10, 15 more reasons. But yes, Khan, I agree.
I think people pull the wool over their own eyes. Like I said, I've been in church. I'm 40 now. I've been going to church since I was in my mother's womb, and my brothers who are a little older, you know, like 15, 20, almost 20 years older than me, you know, they recognize this. You know, my mother, my father, God bless them. They, you know, my father passed last year. He was 83. My mother's 80. And my father understood a lot of what we're talking about more than my mother. And I see that the feminine version of spirituality is you know, in today's world, I see that they latch on to religion too much in order to be comfort, you know, to look for their God or to look for this freedom or this benefactor of going to heaven and having to die to go to heaven, you know, in order to feel like you are free, you know, not doing it here while you're on earth. And